So it's good to see everyone today, and we're going to just start off with a word of prayer. And the Lord's already honored this, but we just want to put Him first in everything. Amen. Lord God, we thank You so much for Your blessings. We thank You, Lord Jesus, our Savior, our Sustainer. Lord, You are our joy, and we get to spread that joy with the world. Lord, I pray that today would be, it would just put a smile on Your face. I know that You love it when Your children gather together in fellowship, loving on one another. It's just the way it's supposed to be. And You're grieved when we don't. So, Lord, I thank You for an opportunity to come together and just fellowship and hang out and enjoy Your creation, enjoy our fellow Christians. Lord, I pray that You'd be honored and blessed in everything said and done at this place and as we go from this place. Amen. Awesome. I want to, y'all can be seated. We won't be long. I want to talk briefly about the danger of vision. And it's not just the danger of vision in general, but the danger of small vision. The danger of small vision is that you can actually accomplish it. And when you accomplish it, you have this feeling of, well, we've done it. And then once you have accomplished that and done that, you kind of sit back on your victory, and then you start to decline. And so anytime that we have a vision that is easily accomplished, or it's we suffer with nearsightedness. I suffer with farsightedness. In other words, I could see any movement 300 yards out, especially if it's got a little white tail. But if it's right here in front of my face, I got to have these things. So that's called nearsighted. So I can only see what's out there, but not so much right here. Others can only see what's right here and can't necessarily see out there. And that's a problem. Shoot low, he's wearing my shirt. So yeah. So when we struggle with nearsightedness, when it comes to vision, It's an easily accomplished vision that doesn't take you any further than when you accomplish it. And I just, the Lord laid this on my heart last Sunday, and as I was getting ready to preach one message, He dropped a little nugget of truth in my mind, and that was Jacob and Esau. Esau wanted what was right in front of him right now, and he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. Now, we're going to have some good soup here today. We got some gumbo chili, some, what would they call cows in the corn patch. That's going to be good over yonder. I think that's what it's called. Pigs in the corn patch. I don't know. Something in the corn patch over in that pot. And I don't know if y'all noticed it, but there's no roadkill within 3 miles of this church. So we don't believe in waste around here. And so we're going to have a lot of good stew here today. And Esau, because he was hungry, He traded in what was eternal for what was immediate. And that's the danger of nearsightedness or small vision. It's all I can see is what's right in front of me, and I need to have that right now. And it's just a principle for life to be able to encourage our children, you know, as they start making decisions all the way up until probably the grave. Is one of the most powerful principles in life is the ability to tell yourself, wait. To tell yourself, wait. I always say that I am patient with everything except waiting. When it comes to waiting, I'm not so patient. But the Lord often tells us to wait on Him. Sometimes that means wait on Him as in serve Him like a waiter. Sometimes that is just trust His timing. When it comes to trusting His timing, I like to say he's never in a hurry, but he's always on time. January of 2021, as we were doing our 21 days of prayer and fasting, that last week I got away with the Lord, and I wanted Him to give me and download a vision. I wanted His vision for this church, because a church that doesn't have vision doesn't really know where it's going. It just exists. And so we needed to know where we're going, because we're not meant to be stagnant, staying right where we are. And so I'm asking the Lord, and when we fast, we get our spiritual ears clear where we can actually hear him. So I'm asking the Lord, where do you have Sand Springs going? And y'all, if you've been around for a little while, you know exactly what I came back with. I'm going to read some scriptures to you real quick. Bear with me. You got time. We're feeding you. You don't know hurry. It's the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. So as he gave the vision, I wrote it down. I wrote it on a tablet of paper. And I came back to our church and I shared that vision. And you might remember part of that vision were the three A's, that God wanted us to be defenders of the family and to foster the family and grow up the family. We were going to be a church for the family. And there were three things that are coming against the family that we need to address. One we already were addressing, and that was addiction. The other three were abortion, abuse, and abandonment. Many of you all remember that. Immediately after I shared the vision, it took off. Immediately. And we saw God do amazing things in a hurry. But that wasn't all of the vision. I was going to bring that tablet, but I only have so many hands. So I can just share with you what the other part of that vision was, and it had to do with the property that we thought we were going to be on. And that property, I just envisioned a place for the family, and that 7 days a week, family could be out there enjoying the serenity and the peace of the presence of God. And that people could hang out around the pond and walk the trails. And so I just knew what God was downloading for me. But the place and the time was not immediate. I'm going to read the rest of this passage of scripture. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So that says, though it tarries, wait for it, it will not tarry. But I thought it said, though it tarries. Yeah, in my opinion, if it's past 2 days, it tarries. But he says, no, it's actually going to be right on time. Amen. God is always right on time. And I don't always like his timing, but it's always correct. So I need to trust his timing. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. And so we've been called to live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in what we've heard the Lord say. And short-term vision, you can do a study on this if you want. Churches that have vision and it's a building, that is a danger. If the building is the vision, it's a danger. Why? Because once you accomplish it, you sit down and just rest in your victory. And what happens then is the church begins to decline. And then generation later, you'll be looking on that building and say, what a tragedy. That church that used to be thriving is now barely keeping the doors open. Happens over and over and over again. It's the danger of short vision, small vision. And it's an insult to God to have small vision. He's a big God. Amen. And the vision that we trust him with ought to be God-sized vision and not man-sized, because it's an insult to God to trust him to do what we can, because then we accomplish it and we take some of the glory for it, take some of the credit for it. And so God gave us a vision and he began to accomplish it in order to give us further faith for the furthering of the rest of the vision. And I go ahead and tell you, even though I said not all of it was accomplished, there's some of it that will never be finished. I'm going to go to Psalms real quick, 144. This is the vision that I got on day 21 of the 21 days of prayer and fasting. I got this on day 21. I shared it with our associate pastor, Bruce Lawrence, at the time. He said God gave him the same scripture on day one. Day one, he got it. Day 21, I got it. God bookended 21 days of prayer and fasting with this passage of scripture. It's Psalm 144, but specifically 12 through 15. It says that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in palace style, that our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields, that our oxen may be well laden, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no outcry in our streets. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Happy. Don't you want to be happy? The greatest way to happiness, Jesus started his first sermon that we have recorded in Matthew chapter 5, and we like to give it some holy air to it, saying, blessed are. But you know, he's saying, you're happy when you do these things. You're happy. There's a, now we would actually call it joy, because joy comes from within, and happiness often comes from happenstance and happenings. But when we get in alignment with God, it just fills your spirit. Amen. It just stirs in your soul. And so this passage of scripture, though you might not think, well, that absolutely applies to our church when you first read it. But when God illuminates and ignites a scripture and you know that it's from him, when I read it, I immediately knew all the application to this passage of scripture. That our sons may be as plants growing up in their youth, and our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in palace style. We are a church for the next generation. Church for the next generation. If we fail to pass the baton, we fail. What's awesome, when we began to be a church for the next generation, we didn't know what was going to happen with that, if it was just going to be young people that started coming. But we have found out it is all ages, because passion is contagious. And you don't have to have a certain age group to have passion. And if you'll look around you today, you'll notice something very different, and that in this church, and we've done the demographic studies and all that stuff, there is an even spread across all age groups in this church. Amen? Because everybody wants to be a part of a church that's alive and experiencing the power, the presence of God. And it has nothing to do with an older generation, a middle-aged crowd, or the younger generation. But it is something to do with, as the family, you have all three. As the family, you have the wisdom of the older and the bridging of the gap with the middle age. I'm there. And then you have the younger generation, that wisdom can be translated into them. And this continues generation after generation after generation. And that's why I say there's a vision that never actually gets finished, because it continues to grow and grow and grow. If you have a nearsightedness and an easily accomplished vision, you reach it and then you begin to fall. So it talks about the next generation and how the Lord is going to bless this church as we continue to focus on family, and he's going to bless the next generation. Then it goes on to verse 13. It says that our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, that our sheep may bring forth thousands. And this is talking about the Lord's supply, and that he will accomplish what is in his vision. And we don't have to worry. We don't have to stress. I don't have to wring my hands over, is it going to happen, when God has already given us his word? Amen. And he's given us his word that it's going to be there. And then it talks about our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our field. And when I read that, I immediately knew that that's how many souls we're going to be seeing saved through this church. Thousands and even tens of thousands. You say, that's a big vision. Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. But we have a big God. Amen. We have a big God, and he can do it. He can accomplish it. Verse 14, that our oxen may be well laden, that there be no breaking in or going out. I had some cows for a little bit, and I got tired of them rascals breaking out. So I sold them to Rod. There you go. He had better fences than I had. And, you know, and when you look at that scripture, like, oh, we're going to start raising cows at Sand Springs. We got 200 acres now. No, it has nothing to do. When you see certain words in the scriptures, you know that there's a spiritual connection. And when it comes to oxen, that is the laborers. That's the laborers. Those of us in this church that are serving in this church, and we discovered last week, 51%, was that right? 47. Let's get it up to 51. All right. 47% of the members are serving in some capacity here. And this is what this vision that the Lord gave us, this scripture, this promise that he gave us, talks about, that those oxen will be, that the laborers will be well equipped and resourced. And I just believe that what we see with the 47%, because all you've heard it, 10% of the people do 90% of the work in most churches, not at this one. And I believe it's a direct response to this scripture God gave us. And then it goes on to say that there be no breaking in or going out. There be no outcry in our streets. Why did God plant Sand Springs in Athens, Texas? Not to grow Sand Springs, but to bring the kingdom to Athens, Texas. Amen. And that I believe that we are seeing even the statistics change in our city because of the church in this city. Not this church, the church in this city. And the cooperation between the churches is just amazing. We just found the video of the nativity event rally on the square and watched it 2 weeks ago. That was 12 years ago when we had that event on the courthouse lawn. And I was reading the statistics of Henderson County at that time. And at that time, we were number one in methamphetamine use in this county. We were number one in child abuse in the state of Texas in this county. Our statistics were horrible. I think we were number three in domestic violence in this county. And I'll tell you, we're not, this vision hasn't been complete yet, but we're way better than that now. Amen. Why? Because the church. Because the people of God are in this city, and they're doing a work, and God's blessing it. And so that there be no outcry in our streets. And then it finishes up with verse 15. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. And I've just discovered that the happiest people that I know are people who trust the Lord. People who know that we're in good hands and that you can trust the Lord with whatever. And I just remember in a theological quandary, as I was dealing with frustration over where I stood in what theological camp, and I began asking the Lord, what people group bear the fruit of the Spirit? Who has peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control? What people group? And it's those Spirit-filled people that we are looking at today. And they're just the happiest. They just, when troubles come, we're not frazzled because we got a big God. When issues happen, we're not disturbed, shaken, not broken, just continue to stand up in peace and move forward in power. And so I just continue to give God the glory for all that he's doing, and we know that it's just getting gooder and gooder. Amen. Now let us not be an Esau who sold what is eternal for what was right in front of his face, but let us have vision to say, you know what? It's a quote. Maybe you've heard it. It was quoted by Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot was a missionary to the Aka Indians of South America who, when he finally got to put feet on the ground, they killed him. They had, there's an amazing book about this missionary group. And I sure wish I could remember the name of it now. Through Gates of Splendor. And this missionary group, they'd fly an airplane, and they had learned how to take and drop a bucket out of an airplane and circle that airplane, and that bucket would stay in one spot. So they would drop this bucket down to this unreached people group, and they would fly in circles, and that bucket would stay in one spot. And they were giving gifts to the Indians, and then the Indians would give gifts back to them. And you can imagine, you've never seen an airplane before, what you would think is going on. And when this group finally landed the plane on the beach, the Indians came out and killed them. Do you know what Jim Elliot wrote? He is no fool. They found this in his journal after he was killed. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. Let you soak on that for a second. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep, not our possessions, not our resources, not our finances, not even our own lives. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. Esau was a fool. And the Bible said God loved Jacob, but he rejected Esau. Why? Because he suffered from nearsightedness. He could only see what was right in front of him. And so he traded what was right in front of his eyes for what had no end to it. Let us not be like that, but let us have the vision of God that is accomplishable here and now and yet continues for generation after generation after generation. God has so blessed this community and so blessed us with getting to be a part of the faith family of this community, and we're so thankful for it. I hope that you got to go see the new property. It's even gotten a lot more beautiful since you saw it when we had our groundbreaking the first week in November. It's just, if you can't get on that hill and have God vision, we need to get you some spiritual eyeglasses, all right? Because you can just get up there and just see, man, what's God going to do on this hill? And so we are today collecting our miracle offering, and we're praying that through this offering, God will completely pay for the pavilion, and he can do it, amen? He's big enough to do it. And so those who you've been praying and you've been seeking the Lord and you've been asking for his direction, we're going to have an opportunity for us to put those offerings in these blue boxes. And asking that you just seek the Lord. And that giving is the most tangible way to experience the miraculous. And so we're going to just stop and have a word of prayer. And then we're going to give you an opportunity to come and bring the offering. This is a little bit, I don't know if you understand Jewish timeline, but this is a little bit symbolic of that, and that this is harvest season. And we call this holiday harvest. And we're bringing in the offering as they did in Israel. And so we're going to bring that offering in now. And I want to start us off with a word of prayer. Father God, I pray that you would multiply the offering. And just like the loaves and the fishes, it can't get multiplied unless we put it in your hands. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just stir our hearts to recognize how generous our good God has been to us and that we would respond likewise. Lord, and just take this offering and just multiply it. And for generations to come, we will see your kingdom continue to expand in Henderson County. Lord, you have been so, so good. And we know that it's just getting started. So, Lord, we love you. We praise you. And we worship you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So at this time, as the worship team leads us in music, you want to come drop your offering in the box. You can do it later when we're eating if you're embarrassed by your little offering. Or there's just something special about God's people moving to the front and saying, I'm bringing the offering. You know, as they get ready, I know they're ready. As God gave Moses the vision for the tabernacle, it said the people started bringing their offerings. The people got excited about the vision. They recognized that they get to get in on the vision. They get to be a part of it, and they were bringing their offerings. And finally, Moses gets word, hey, they keep bringing it. It just keeps coming. And finally, they had to spread the news. We have so much, we've received so much that y'all just stop bringing it now. I'll let y'all know when we get there. All right? When we get so much that we just don't have enough room to hold it all, I'll let y'all know. But until then, just get the vision of I get to get in on this generational, even eternal work of the kingdom of God. So our praise team is going to lead us to the music now.
Face, who bend their knees and fix their gaze on Jesus, they won't be shaken. So come on and praise the Lord with me. Sing if you love his name. Come on and live.
Amen.